welcome to the Lately PHP podcast number 66. And as always, I have here with me Artur Sosins from Latvia that stayed up this late to record a bunch of podcasts in a row. And this is the final one that we have been struggling because we had some links to comment, but the site that we linked that hosted the archive of PHP internals was not live, so we had to find another one. Hello, Artur. How are you doing?
Oh, already had my midnight snack, so we're ready to go.
Yeah. But today it will be a special episode because we comment about many interesting topics. Not only PHP 7 has been released, but there are many new interesting things being discussed for the next PHP version, which people are already discussing. But let's start the usual order, which is to comment on the latest PHP releases. This month we had PHP 5.6 releases. Let me share the screen here. If I can. Okay, so we had PHP 5.6.15 and 6.6.16. There are a bunch of fixes, and well, I don't know if there is anything worth really noticing on these bug fixes, because it's always the usual bug fixes that were submitted and fixed. Some are security related, others won't. Anyway, the great event of these days, it was PHP 7, sorry, that was finally released. After
I thought you were throwing me by announcing some other PHP version.
Yeah. Well, PHP 7 is the first major version after 11 years when PHP 5.0 was released. And it has many features. And it was well awaited because not only of the features, but also because of the speed improvement. Some claim that it is twice as fast as PHP 5.6, but it depends on what, if it is on pure processing tasks or not. Anyway, it is a version that was well anticipated, like about 2 years of development. And many contributions, many great new features that people were asking. And I even have written an article about this. In reality, the article was to publish the results about whether the PHP developers will adopt PHP 7. Now that the PHP 7 release date arrived on December 3. So a few weeks ago I launched a survey, and there were 526 users that have filled that survey. In this article I also tell a bit about the PHP 7 story, mention why it is 7 and not 6, because 6 it was canceled. Also mentioned the developments of Facebook, the Hop compiler, the HVM virtual machine, and the Facebook hack language that somehow, I believe, they influenced PHP core developers to move on with PHP, which was kind of being developed very slowly. And there were some major new features besides performance. initially it was motivated by introducing a JIT engine, which never happened, but it motivated one car developer from Zen, Dmitry Stogov, to investigate other paths to increase the PHP performance. And besides that, there were many features that have been proposed, like strip typing for scalar values, anonymous classes, nested classes. One feature that I commented in a separate article, which is the PGO optimization, which is basically a possibility to compile the PHP engine to be optimized to run a specific application faster, like for instance WordPress. I don't think many people use this because they don't compile their own PHP installation. They just use some distribution. Anyway, there were some delays. PHP 7 was supposed to be released like in October, but there were like 8 release candidates to iron on the most important bugs. And finally, in December 3, it was released with a big discussion because the developers wanted to delay it to include some OpenSSL library in the Windows distribution that was being released also in December 3, and the other developers were very anxious and arguing. That's all over. It is released, and now let's see. Arthur, are you going to adopt PHP 7? No, you are using Node.js.
I was actually quite impressed with the results. Do you want to comment, or I can comment some interesting things that I found in the results?
Yeah, sure. The survey that I put up was just asking 3 questions. If you are going to use PHP 7 in production, are going to use PHP 7 on your development environment, regardless if you use on production, and what is the latest PHP version using PHP? Well, I even interpreted give my opinion about the results, but we also want to hear what you have to say about these results.
Yeah, well, the first really interesting thing for me was that majority PHP users use 5.6 version, because I really think it would be lower due to what hosting companies still provide, like 5.3 or 5.4. So that was a really interesting thing, that majority of PHP keeps up to with the latest version.
Well, when they can, right?
If they can, yeah, they will. I just thought that majority would use some hostings and stuff like that, but probably majority uses some virtual servers where they have control over PHP version, or better hostings that I use that provide higher versions too. About PHP 7, the most interesting change, I think that for production, majority answered that they would wait a couple of weeks or months before using it in production. But for development, majority answered that they would use the official versions once it comes out. So they already start using it in development environment. So that's an interesting shift, because for me, I am still not using it in development environment. So I would probably wait a couple of more versions before starting even to play with it.
Right. But you are not exactly playing on this PHP league, right?
Currently, no, but well, everything might change eventually. So.
Yeah, sure, of course. And well, it is interesting, not just that, at least most people are, at the minimum, they are using PHP 5.3. And this is important because there was a dash DOS collision, which we actually also comment again on this podcast, was fixed in 5.3.11, I think. And you should not be using a lower version than that, or else somebody can easily halt your server. But that's in production. in production, there were still already people already using PHP 7. They are brave enough to to even before, because it was, this survey was like made a few weeks ago. Most of the answers come in the first days. So it was interesting to notice that there were like 2% of people already using it in production.
Four percent
say that they are using since the few stable versions, but then only 2%, 1.9% say that they use it in production. So
already, yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, this was before the announcement. Well, it is interesting to know. Nothing special, so unexpected. It's somehow understandable that most people will wait for a while before starting using PHP 7, because the first versions will have the first bugs detected soon and fixed. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, PHP 7.01 is scheduled to before Christmas. So,
that's fast development.
Because they know that many bugs will pop up now.
And many more will pop up on Christmas.
Yeah, well, there will always be interesting bugs. But that's basically it. Other than that, I comment already a few things about what I expect for the future of PHP 7. Like PCO, which is basically PDO for cryptography, so can use different libraries to implement the same cryptography functions. There is a tool called FAN. You probably get back to this later, because it's a static code analyzer that is being developed by Rasmus, but somebody else is already continuing the development. The idea is to detect possible bugs just by analyzing your code without having to run it. So it's static. And it takes advantage of the abstract C3 feature that was introduced now in PHP 7. And there are always discussions about having a sync underweight. This is not a trivial a feature to implement, so we don't know when it will be available. It seems that the plan is to have PHP 7.1 in one year, from what I heard, but I have to look at the schedule, because I think there is a place within the schedule. So let's see if these features will be available. Well, with async underweight, that means that PHP will have great support for asynchronous programming, and so it would be easy to develop a standalone web server written in pure PHP we have in Node.js, and then the performance of PHP will depend just on that. I don't know if this is something that the community desires, but certainly it will be interesting to have. I don't know, what are your experiences with Node.js? Would it be better Node.js runs, for instance, on top of Nginx, or is it better to run with its own web server?
Well, for example, in our case, the way we use it, we run multiple Node.js processes, and to access them, you would need to access them with specific ports. So to cover that, to hide that, we still use Nginx to route the correct request to correct processes. So that way.
So you use like Nginx as load balancing or proxy or
yeah, it's possible to use it as load balancing also, but that's not the main purpose. So basically, we route different paths to different Node.js processes that handle them. So we have
many. Oh, I see. Yeah, so why did you use Nginx in the front and not another instance of Node.js?
I don't know. That wasn't my decision.
Oh, you came after the boss decided.
Yeah.
Okay, it is interesting to know why, if people can use their own server, why they use it or not. Because PHP also comes with a built-in server, it's not recommended for production environments. It's not exactly something highly optimized. Anyway, this is for PHP 7. There were parties around the world. Everybody was celebrating. But there are some other interesting news that happened lately that are related with PHP. One of those news was exactly about...
the first one to Node.js. Yeah.
So many people got this news that WordPress.com is now based in JavaScript, and so WordPress is dumping PHP. Except that it's not exactly the case. There is what happened is there is this new interface called Calypso, which basically is an alternative to WP admin, which is based on React.js and Node.js server on the server, right?
Yeah, and they're basically using Node.js as a start process to simply serve HTML files. It's a web server, basically. If PHP would come with its own web server that is ready for production, then maybe they would use PHP on that part.
Or not, because they are JavaScript maniacs. I don't know what was the motivation. We have been listening to threats that WordPress would switch to Python and now JavaScript and whatever. And the reality is not that. It was just part of the interface that was the administration interface that was replaced with the Calypso interface on WordPress.com. So if you have your own WordPress installation, it has nothing to do with that.
Well, maybe it does, actually, because Calypso is like a client for a WordPress REST API. So I think you can even install Calypso on your computer and access and manage your WordPress account by that. I don't know if it works with custom WordPress installations or not, but
yeah, I think it has to have the server side too. Server side, I'm not sure because I don't use WordPress. I just tried it in WordPress.com just to see if it was any different. And basically, it is something that you can use, but you don't know what is on the server side. And if it uses WordPress.com REST API, we don't know if it is PHP or something else.
Probably it's PHP because it's WordPress.
Yeah. It could be. We don't know. It was not clear for me. There was an article also by Matt Malomag talking about Calypso, what he thinks about it. He says that whether the community is going to embrace it or not is up to the community. They are using it for the WordPress. And from what I understood, they are using on WordPress.com probably to save resources, to save servers, because if it is all based on JavaScript, a great part on client side, it probably save a lot of servers that will get less requests. Not that couldn't be done in PHP, I think. And there is also
that should not be a problem. Probably Node.js parallelization also has something to do with it.
And there is this article, six things you should know about WordPress moving to JavaScript. The first thing is WordPress is not only the WP admin. There is the part that actually serves the pages and integrates with whatever plugins and themes that you are using. WP-Admin is tightly linked to WordPress, so it is a part of WordPress. It's not something that calls an API, a REST API, like Calypso. Calypso is a new administration tool, so it is an alternative for WP-Admin. Calypso is also for reading. Now you can choose blogs to read from other sites and read those blogs in your own blog interface, Calypso. PHP-based WordPress isn't going anywhere, neither WP-Admin. So basically, if you were concerned if they are ditching PHP for WordPress, and you have invested all these years developing plugins or themes or integrating with your site needs, all done in PHP, don't worry, be happy. Nothing is going to happen. So basically, that's it. If you are concerned about the WordPress dumping PHP, don't be. Have a Merry Christmas. Nothing like that is going to happen. So moving on to the next topic. Now we are going to start talking about some interesting features that are being proposed for the next PHP version. I would like to start with yet another request to have a sort of feature similar to C++ friend class, which allows you to tell that if a certain class is a friend of another, it can access its protected protected members. And this is the equivalent to in Java, I think they call it package permissions, right? I don't use Java.
If I'm a Node.js developer, you automatically assume I know everything about Java?
Not me, but some people will. I was wondering, because I'm not a Java developer, if you knew anything about these things. But I think that's package visibility, that what they call in Java. It's the same as C++ friend classes. And there was another guy that asked for something similar, called it internal methods. Like you can call methods of other classes that they are considered internal to the same namespace.
So three similar feature requests in 1 month. That's interesting.
Yeah, actually some are just comebacks of the same features that were requested some time ago. And there's an article here on this site, PHP friend classes. It talks about what those classes are called C++. So this is one thing that has been requested. We don't know if this time, because there were proposals before, but we don't know if this time they will actually implement this. We know if when people are persistent, sooner or later they get there, like what happened with strict typing for scalar values, that there are many proposals to address the objections. So finally they implemented it. So moving on to another topic, it is about somebody that requesting to write the compiled PHP opcode to files. He actually mentioned bcompiler, extension, apc bin functions, and since PHP 5.5, it was introduced the Xen opcode cache, after discussing a bit, they said, oh, this is sort of saving, accessing the cache files of the compiler that that already exist, that are already generated. You can tell to it to generate the cache files and save them to file. So that is the result of the compilation of PHP into raw codes already saved the files. So those question people is, that
can you run it then again after you save the file? Can you run it from file?
Well, if it is a cache file, the next time that you run the same script, it will get it from there. And I think the usual way to see if the cache is up to date is to compare timestamps. So as long as the timestamp of the original source is older than the cache file, you can actually force. I don't know if, for instance, if you add the PHP script that was compiled and it is in the cache directory, if you replace the original source file by another file that has nothing on it, but has an older timestamp, it will probably still load the cache. So that could be a form of distributing PHP binaries.
Yeah, that would be.
It's a bit odd, but it is something that many people want. And there was a great discussion in the thread because if you want to, people complain, if you want to protect your source code, rest assured that it can always be defeated because there are disassemblers and they can regenerate the original source code. And well, while that is true, it is also, that doesn't mean that is not useful. For instance, if you have a nosy boss that it doesn't know much of programming, but and it keeps picking and changing your code because it thinks so. If you give him some binaries, he'll do nothing because he doesn't know enough. On the other hand, he can know enough and do the complicated thing, which should be to disassemble that code and alter it and so on.
Great example from a guy who works at home and is self-employed.
Yes, it's not my case because I don't have that problem, but I have read many people claiming for that. Oh, we want to have a version that we can distribute binaries. And there are commercial compilers. There are many from Zen, Source Guardian, IonCube. I think NewSphere also has one. And if you use their extensions, it's probably harder, although it's not impossible to decode, because you don't have the source to actually determine how the code was encoded. But if you know enough, you can always probably intercept it. So at least in theory, you'll be more protected with a commercial encoder than with a solution like this. But nevertheless, there is always people that are always trying to get solutions that they don't pay, even though they are inferior solutions. I even remember that not very long ago, some people actually found it useful to encrypt the source code and generate a PHP script that actually decrypted the data and executed it. So as long as it is a little more difficult for somebody to pick on some code, it is useful. And even though the performance, because when we encrypt the code, you have to decrypt it, and if you don't cache the results, it will be slower. Even in that case, people find it useful. So it is interesting. So this solution to write compiled code, opcodes, to using the opcache extension can also be useful. There is only one detail that is worth mentioning, is that this is not, these opcode files, they are not portable. I mean, if you have, for instance, a 64-bit system, you compile it to these cache files, they will not probably not run on 32-bit systems or with another CPU. And so you need to be careful to not assume this is a general solution for distributing binaries, compiled binaries for PHP. I don't know if you ever had the concern to protect your PHP binary, Arthur.
No, not really. I encountered some things that when buying software that they usually encoded, and then we had lots of problems with that encoding, and but there's really no other way to do it. But I myself, I usually write open source scripts, so I don't bother.
Yeah, but even some time ago, there was an author that sent to JS classes a library that would actually generate self-executing code that would decrypt. Decode some code and execute it. The problem is that the next packages that the guy sent would be encoded that same way, and it was it gave some work to actually read and understand the code. And I said, well, if I don't understand the code, I cannot write a description for that code, so I cannot approve it. And the guy was mad and removed the package and went away. Well, what can we do? I need to approve the package. I cannot simply make a very hard effort to read the code and determine what it does. Because people want to have a clear description of the package. So that's how it ended. It's not useful. So if it was meant to protect the code, well, there are other sites for them to distribute it. But the code is being given away. No, it's not even being sold. It's just given away, just protected. The guys probably wanted to protect the algorithm. Anyway, moving on, another topic about a proposal that is being considered for the next PHP versions is the immutable modifier, in which you have immutable data. As I understood that if you have immutable, you cannot change the class.
Or the property,
the object, at least after the constructor. That's what the proposal here says.
Yeah, and interesting that attempts to modify the property would result in a fatal error.
Yeah, probably a catchable exception. Yeah, this, I don't recall any use case, but I can imagine this could be useful in some cases, probably to detect bugs. Probably when you have a complicated situation on which you don't want, you are changing some variable, but you are not sure where in your code that is happening. Mm-hmm. You can make the variable immutable and then see where exactly it is changing the value.
So you're creating a class, and if you don't want somebody to change some value in your class, you make it private. But now there are lots of requests to make friend classes that could access private methods, so you need to make them immutable.
Yeah, obviously they are not the same people.
Yeah.
Some want friends, the other want enemies. So this would be for different purposes, but I think it is interesting. There can be some use cases for this. Okay, moving on. Yet another feature that is being requested for many years and it never made PHP is having some native annotation syntax. This, for those that are not familiar, annotations are, I would say, meta information that is in the classes, in the code.
It's provided as a comment before the method, before the object and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, actually, some people, in this case, they want it to be a native, have a native syntax, because when people use comments, is because they don't want to change the language to support annotations.
So how would this be done through PHP?
Sorry?
So how would this be done through PHP itself?
Yes, they want to have some native comments that are supported by the PHP engine to define annotations.
Like, this method is deprecated. We had deprecated keyboard before it or something like that.
Well, maybe, for instance, I suppose annotations are something that can be arbitrary, not something
exactly
anticipated by the language.
That's why I'm thinking, how could it be natively implemented? Because you would need some kind of API to make it happen, but it's arbitrary. So, it's interesting to see the solution.
Well, they want to have some native syntax that I don't think they have discussed a specific syntax, but there were proposals in the past by, for instance, Guilherme Blanco submitted a proposal in the past. We discussed it actually in the early episodes of the Lately in PHP podcast. And then again, there's a big discussion about this, about having or not an annotation syntax. I find it particularly interesting, the argument of Guilherme Blanco, because somebody said that there must be a strong demand for this feature in the community to implement it. But then I remember that, for instance, traits, there was not a strong demand for traits. Actually, most people did not even have a clue what were traits before they were implemented. And still many people don't know about it. So that was not really a good argument. The problem, I think, is that some people take this discussion with so much passion that they take it personally when somebody disagrees. And they start being cynic to each other to the point that if one is in favor, the other will be against. And when the vote comes, the person will just go there, vote against, just because he took it personal. And this is silly, but it happens a lot in the PHP core discussions.
In my opinion, the point of having annotations, if you have a strong IDE to write the code and it would understand the annotation and scrape the information from there and present you like return parameters, accept parameters, deprecated or alternatives and stuff like that. So I think that's not so much would be needed or had in PHP, but rather text editors can already take what Java has and parse it, and you can write it in PHP code. So I don't see that as a problem. The thing with native annotations, that's what confuses me, but probably they want to have ability to retrieve them, read them, like in reflection API or stuff like that. I don't know.
Yeah, but that depends because IDEs, they make a specific interpretation of annotations or doc blocks. For instance, to guess types before there was type hinting, and that's it. But there are other uses. For instance, ORM tools, sometimes they generate code based on definitions annotated in the classes. And that is something that probably IDEs did not anticipate. And what they are asking is to have an annotation syntax that is native to the language, so they don't have to rely on comments.
So it would be like
they don't have to rely on having their own parser to the comments.
So it would be like on the user level, on text editor level that they see, or it would be on the class level, like one class knows more about the other class because it could also parse its annotations.
Yeah, they want to have the possibility to have that information in the class and have the PHP engine to help extracting that information.
Yeah, okay.
So they don't have to have their own parsers for whatever annotation format is being decided, because there are now many annotation formats that are built in comments and they are not necessarily compatible. This is my interpretation. Personally, it doesn't bother me much because, many years ago, I developed a sort of a meta language that would compile code. The source code is in XML format. Well, those are the days of XML, so you have to excuse me. Nowadays, I wouldn't use XML, but that's how it went. And you could, for instance, define classes with this XML structure. So what I did is, for instance, you have PHP classes, some classes that I wrote. I used that meta language that would define classes. It would have everything, types. It would have everything that PHP didn't have by then. And I used that in putting comments. And then I used the tool to extract those comments to generate documentation. And the documentation was extracted from the class automatically. And I had the trouble to define that meta language, but it was not just for that purpose. I used for other purposes. I have a ORM tool called MetaStorage that generates classes to do ORM operations. So I don't have to write that code. It saves me a lot of time. Generates classes, generates database schema, also in some other XML format. And it generates classes to install the database schema and so on. It saves me a lot of time, but those are tools that I developed many, many years ago. And if I were to wait for the PHP core developers to finally accept to implement annotations, I would have already died, because you cannot wait forever. Those discussions sometimes, you just go there, sometimes it seems they do it on purpose. I'm going to boycott you. I don't know. It's a shame that people sometimes take things too personally. Having different opinions is just something that is very common. There should be no reason for people to take it so personally. But that's the way things are. You cannot also expect to change other people. You have to be, if you want something, you have to be the diplomatic. You have to ask instead of demand. You have to be polite. And sometimes you explain things, people misunderstand you. You have to blame yourself because you didn't explain in a way that people understood it correctly. And you waste a lot of time on that. You have to be basically a politician, which I don't have much vocation, but that's how things move on. Many things. The discussion, for instance, for strict typing in PHP was, wow, like tens and tens of messages in threads, people arguing, multiple versions of the proposals, each one fixing objections that were encountered previously. And then there was a big campaign to call everybody to vote on the final proposal. and only then the things were approved. It was quite a miracle. And I don't know if this proposal of annotations will go the same way. I think it will depend a lot on the patience and the diplomacy of the people that are involved in this discussion. Well, that's the way I see it. I don't know if you have anything to add to this point of view.
I just see your point about it, and yeah, I would agree that there is no point waiting. And like you, I would use some kind of similar solution to achieve it, but it would be great if it would be natively supported.
And the thing is that when you only rely on your code, it works with the current version, not some future version that probably you are not yet using. Okay, but moving on, one other topic that was interesting that appeared in the I'm trying to increase the font, it's not working. Okay, here it is. Well, somebody implemented a proof of concept that would achieve 3.5 times more performance boost for PHP 7 using 4 cores. Well, I'm not sure if I understood it. So if you use 4 cores, you only get 3.5 more performance.
Why not 4 times, right?
Yeah, exactly. Or more. I don't know. Maybe some magic.
I think it depends on what are you about. Doing there actually, but yeah, probably there's some overhead and stuff like that
because it's not always the same, and also it probably depends on the code. In this case, it was to manipulate arrays. It was a patch that was applied to one of PHP RC versions, and it's for multiprocessing.
Yeah.
So you have a flag, and then it will. Probably use multiple cores to process. This is something along the lines of those GPUs that have many cores, and then they split the tasks of processing large arrays of data between the cores, and then the result is indeed much faster. But whenever you use all the cores for that purpose, the cores cannot be used for something else. And for instance, if you are in the server, you need to understand that you do not own the CPU. The cores are not only for you. There are other tasks that need the CPU as well. So yeah. you may sum values in an array faster, but then if you halt the system.
But it's not the point. The main point is that it is possible to modify PHP 7 to make it run parallel, and it provides a speed up boost. So you could handle 3.5 more requests.
Maybe not.
It
depends. It depends on what the requests do. I don't think that this array sum in array that we're using the benchmark what makes most of PHP code.
And now you will say that the database would be the bottleneck either way.
Yeah, because PHP will spend most of the time waiting for something.
Still, but not the point.
Yeah. Well, actually, we mentioned in the past that somebody already had an idea to use the GPU to accelerate PHP. If you have a server with a graphic card like NVIDIA or something, you could use the GPU of the NVIDIA to accelerate some operation. I don't know. Because the GPU is not necessary for graphics, it's just for processing large amounts of data.
Yeah.
And there is some extension, I think it's Coda, that you can create some C++ code and compile it into native code for the GPU and make it execute faster. That is, I think, what they do in the browsers, but for processing images and things like that. I think it is to implement those 3D CSS properties, animations, and things like that. I don't know. I think we mentioned that in a past episode of the podcast. Anyway, people were discussing this, and basically they said, oh, you don't own the CPU, you need to understand that if you have this code, probably it will not guarantee that you have all the cores for you to benefit from this, and probably in real applications, you probably will not have any benefit. So, but it's always an interesting idea.
I would disagree.
Well, but you can express your point of view. Yeah, what is the?
I think it would actually benefit, and if you have a dedicated server that is meant specifically to run your PHP application, then why wouldn't you have access to all the cores? It would be minimized on all other servers just to make your application performance better.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It would have to see in practice if the games are what the guy claims to be. That's, those games are when your server is not doing anything else. 3 times faster. Maybe you can also achieve those games with multi-threading, like having parallel threads to do separate things. And each thread would be assigned to a core, but I don't know if that is something that programmers want to have so much control. In this case, it would be automatic. It would be applied to some operation that they are working on. I think in case it was arrays. Anyway, moving to one final topic that is interesting. It is about the HashDOS protection. Maybe you remember in PHP 5.3.9, that was a partial fix for this vulnerability. For instance, if a request gets a large amount of values, it can store those values in an array that is not very efficient, and it will start taking more and more time to add values to the array until it finally brings the server to a halt because it would be so slow. So the partial fix that happened then was to limit the number of values that you can put in an array. But that was just a partial fix. In the case, it was array of get and post requests, because that's something that comes from the outside, something that an attacker could abuse.
But you could accidentally generate the large array yourself.
That would be hard because the values of the array, they have to be carefully crafted to have the same hash values.
Yeah, so then hash collision, right?
Right, and it would be hard to achieve that accidentally. But then they created an option called max input vars that limits like the request values to 1,000 or something like that, which is already a lot. And but there are other cases, like for instance, when somebody passes some JSON string, the JSON string is decoded by your own code. I mean, you call JSON decode, and there was no real protection for that because you don't know if that value coming from the outside or not. So there was a discussion about this, and basically the proposal, if I'm not mistaken, is that somehow when you insert or we insert values in an array, the PHP internally counts the number of collisions, and if it exceeds the number of collisions, a given limit, it will throw an exception or some fatal error or something, but at least it will not bring down your server.
Yeah.
That I think that is the proposal. And but this is something that is still being discussed because it is recent. But it is good that people are keeping thinking on some edge cases that are not being addressed and could cause security problems. Talking about this, I didn't mention it initially, but Stefan Hesser is going to issue or already issue a new release of the Suhasin extension, which provides protection for many of these things, probably at the expense of some performance, but at least the security is improved. So he is releasing a new version for PHP 7. It's an extension that you can enable, so that is interesting. Well, with this, we would generally go to a section on which we talk about the latest articles and book reviews that were published recently, but nowadays we're recording that as a separate podcast. So you should go there if you're interested. You should go there and watch that podcast that we already recording. It will be published separately soon. Anyway, just to mention briefly, we talk about many interesting tutorial articles related with the dependency injection, improving the security of passwords using paranoid computing, searching docx doc PDF documents, sending messages to SMS messages to automated gateways controlled by PHP, automatic PHP regular expression building, which is a very interesting article. Also sending, interacting with your users with SMS, WhatsApp, Facebook, and Telegram. Migrating your PHP code that used the old MySQL extension to MySQLi. And one series of articles that starts talking about Docker. Then there's also another article about creating your own framework of utility classes. And finally, one series of articles about speeding back processing tasks using queues. Okay, now we are going to talk about the Innovation Award nominees and winners, starting precisely from the JS classes. Nominees for September. They were about classes published on September. They were voted on October. So in November, the results come out. So now I can start talking about them. Arthur, which ones would you like to start commenting?
So PHP classes, right?
No, for JS classes.
JS classes. Okay, so I would want to comment on a class with an interesting name, Blappy, and it was developed by Emmanuel Podwin from France, and what it does, it allows you to preload AJAX contents based on URLs defined in this way, in this same page. So basically, this class parses all links in the page and checks for the data attributes, data blepi href attributes, and preloads them. And the reason is to make the switching faster. So for example, this here is the menu, and as we see, all the contents are already preloaded and it's switching quite fast. So no additional requests to serve apart from the first one that loads all information. So I think that would be a great way to use in single web page applications and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So kudos to Emmanuel, and he got one downloadable ebook of choice by O'Reilly for this package.
Okay, on my behalf, I also would like to comment on another package. Unfortunately, we didn't have many packages being published on JS classes because it's a much smaller site. It's not like PHP classes that there are tons of innovative classes. So the other class that I want to comment is string multi-replace. In this case, it was developed by Martin Barker from the United Kingdom. And basically, this is to overcome a limitation of the replace functions. You usually can only replace one string at a time. So if you want to replace multiple strings, you would have to call replace multiple times. So how do I call it? Because it's maybe you could call it a subclass or a replacement class that the replace is the prototype of the replace function that will make the function actually handle multiple replacements in case it detects it is an array. So it was an interesting solution because it keeps compatibility with the default behavior of the replace function. You know, at the same time, it can support multiple replacement functions. So kudos to Martin Barker, and for this, it picked a book of choice from PACT. And now let's see how is the Innovation Award rankings for the JavaScript. Basically, for authors, it hasn't changed much because unfortunately there haven't been many packages being published lately. But the ranking so far is, and Stoth is first with 6 packages and 23 points. Suresh Kumar is in second with 4 packages and 13 points. Jackson Knowlton with 3 packages and 10 points. And then Stephen Shepman with 2 packages and 8 points, tied with Artur Sosins from Latvia, who would know, with 3 packages and 8 points. Diego Lamonic also with 2 packages and 8 points. Then follows in 7th, Dusan Boskic and Gianluca Ferrari with 7 points, one with 2 packages and another with 1 package. And friend Joseph Brunner with 2 packages in 6 points, so is tied with Everton LaRosa in 9th place, also with 6 points, but just 1 package. By countries, as we can see, is more or less the same ranking, just mapping authors to countries. So Hungary is in first with 6 packages and 23 points, then followed by India with 6 packages and 20 points. Then United States with 4 packages and 11 points. Then France with 3 packages and 10 points. Italy, 2 packages and 8 points. Australia is in 5th, tied with Italy with also 8 points. And then Latvia as well, with just as 3 packages. Then in 8th position is Serbia and the Netherlands with 7 points. One with 2 packages and the other with 1 package. Finally, Austria with 2 packages and 6 points. Well, I hope that, well, there is only 1 month to go to end the year. And if authors can move quickly, they can still change the rankings for authors and for countries. But let's see how it goes. So this is for JavaScript. Now, for PHP, the Innovation Award has been much more competitive. And in September, we had like 14 nominees. It's a lot of people competing, and this is great because...
Great new ideas.
Yes, because there are much more packages in in PHP classes, so it's harder to come with good ideas. But the ideas that come that are innovative, they tend to be somewhat surprising. Let's share the screen here just to see the 14 packages. And well, Arthur, which ones would you like to comment?
The first one I would like to comment is PHP code preprocessor. So basically, as we all know, is in C, C++, we have macros, preprocessor codes that are replaced and executed and compile time to replace variables, remove parts of codes and stuff like that. And Alexander Selifonov from Russia created just similar package only for PHP. Basically, this package takes a text file, a PHP code, and parses it, and allows you to do the same the things that macros allow you to do, basically. Maybe I don't see a feature to specific usage for this right now, but I really like the idea. It was really interesting. So thank you to Alexander. And he got PHP Storm IDE personal permanent license for this package. The second one I want to mention is PHP configuration trait. Lately, there have been a lot of trait packages that like allows it easily to extend your class with some additional configuration. And this one is also very clever. So it was created by Asher Wolfstein from United States. And basically this class, this trait allows to extend your class to read and save configurations in different formats like in XML, PHP, Array, JSON, and YAML. So by adding this trait to your class, you gain access to probably save and load functions that does that. But again, that's a really interesting and innovative use of the trait. So that's why I really like that one also. And Asher got one downloadable ebook of choice by O'Reilly for this package.
Well, on my part, I also want to comment that the remaining classes starting precisely by PHP Fuzzy Logic, which is yet another non-trivial class that was developed in this case by Gaston da Silva from Argentina. And basically it allows to implement some fuzzy logic in your applications that depend on rules that are not so, I would say, what would be the opposite of fuzzy? Could it be objective? Well,
understandable.
Yeah, well, anyway, this is yet another advanced package, and because it requires to understand a lot of the fuzzy logic, and the kudos to Gaston for his submission. And okay, another package that I wanted to comment is about a package that we comment also in the article section, which is the PHP regex function by Christian Vig from France. This is very advanced package because it, among many other things, it lets you give it a text with some patterns, and it figures a regular expression that matches those expressions in the text. So that's one of the features, and it's quite advanced. It provides a lot of other less important features, but this one is quite advanced, and for this it was nominated for the Innovation Award. So let's see how is the Innovation Award rankings 2015, and we only have one last month to end the year, so there is still time to send innovative packages and raise in this ranking. Individually, we have Dave Smith that is far ahead with 11 packages and 106 points. He's from the United States, and also from the United States in second place, Matthew Knowlton with 4 packages and 53 points, followed by Samuel Adesina with 5 packages and 52 points. Then Dmitry Mamontov from Russia with 4 packages and 42 points. Tilly Wiwoski with 4 packages and 28 points. He's in fifth place. He's from Germany. Jose Luis Lasso with 2 packages and 27 points from Spain. Gali Ahmed is in seventh place with 3 packages and 26 points. He's tied with Alexander Selifanov with also 26 points, but 2 packages. He's from Russia. Also from Russia, Wap Morgan in ninth place is as 5 packages and 24 points. And finally, Alicia Feliciani from Italy with 2 packages and 22 points. This is by author. Now, by country, United States is very far ahead with in first place with 20 packages and 25 points. It's so many points that I'm even having a hard time pronouncing.
I think
all these years it has been a record, and the year is still not end. There is 1 month for authors to submit their packages, and these numbers can even go higher. Anyway, in second place there is Russia with 14 packages and 112 points, which is also a great score. Not as great as the United States, but it is a great score. There have been great Russian...
it's larger than previous year's first places.
Yeah. This year, fortunately, people got very excited with the Innovation Award and submitted many packages. I just nominated like 16 packages for November. 16 packages for November, which is... the record. Actually, there was another month with 16 packages, but it's a lot, and then it makes us spend even more time commenting on the packages. Anyway, Niger is in third place with also a great score with 8 packages and 72 points, followed by India with 8 packages and 67 points. And then Spain with 6 packages and 60 points, followed by France in 6th place with 7 packages and 55 points, Germany with 8 packages and 51 points, and then Egypt with 4 packages and 36 points in 8th place. In 9th place, Tunisia with 4 packages and 32 points, and Italy with 2 packages and 22 points. Well, the year did not end, but so far, congratulations to all authors for their great submissions. We still have November to vote, which is happening right now, and December for packages to be nominated. So this year has been a blast in terms of innovative submissions. And from what I have seen from the queue, there are packages to be approved, which I'm still lagging. There will be even more innovative packages in it. This is great, probably the best year in terms of innovative packages. Congratulations to all authors that participated. While I am at it, I just would like to invite all PHP developers to also submit some nice packages to JS classes, which is needing some care and attention for the lack of so many participations. You also get prizes, not as many as you have here in PHP, but you also get the same level, similar level of recognition.
What I wanted to ask was, do you think that new PHP features or like traits also impacted the amount of innovative packages?
Oh, definitely, because there are quite a few traits. Not all traits, not all packages that implement traits were considered innovative, but some actually make it, or actually we have comment on a few, and they traits, it's something that brought a new approach to solving problems of reusing code that needs to be reused and components of, for totally different purposes, but have some common features, like for instance the configuration traits that we talked. So I'm sure that it definitely contributed, but there are many more packages that are not about traits, and they are really innovative. So congratulations to all. So with this, we just finished to comment about the Innovation Award, and let's have a few more packages to the JS Classes site as well.
Yeah.
So with this, we practically ended this podcast. I would like to thank the patience of Arthur that is practically already sleeping because it's very late in his time zone. Thank you again for coming. So on my behalf, that is all for now. Bye.